Good morning. It is time to get up with the Playmakers Pledge. Can this Cowboys team be the best that Dallas has ever had? Wait till you hear this. Meanwhile, Mr. Mahomes, magnificent so far. Is he about to become even scarier without his scary running mate by his side? And Bama, number one, no surprise. But wait till you hear which team is about to surprise the Tide in the biggest game of the year. All that and more as we get up with you, starting right now on a Tuesday. Back and better than ever and delighted to be here. Graziano's got stories. Canty's got all sorts of business to attend to. The fans are excited to see us back and rolling. Mike Tannenbaum is fielding punts and not well. Sancho's got plenty to say. Let's roll, everybody. We're counting it down to football season, but we begin with the game of the night. Baseball last night, Yankees struggling 2-9 in their last 11. And when you're playing bad and things are going bad, things like this happen. Anthony Rizzo plunked right wrong. Home plate umpire DJ Rayburn says, hold on. Rizzo leaned into the pitch. You be the judge. Close. Aaron Boone comes out to talk about it, doesn't like it. Graziano doesn't like it either.
Absolutely leaned into that pitch.
Oh, he does like it. Oh, Rizzo doesn't like it. He strikes out later in the at-bat on a slider. That's the kind of week it's been for the Yankees. Top of four, Gerrit Cole on the mound. Isak Paredes with the runner at third. Bam! That's a base hit. Brings in David Peralta. Rays, a 1-0 lead. Bottom of eight, same score. Aaron Judge at the plate. Runner at first and nobody out. Remember what I said about when things are going bad? That's six, that's four, that's three. That's the kind of night it was. 4-0 Rays, the final. Yanks shut out again. Hey, Skipper, what gives?
Obviously, we got to play better. We got to do better than that, you know. And it's hard right now. We got to find a way, and we got to keep, you know, keep digging ourselves out of this. We're getting shut down right now. That needs to change. We got to score.
Yes, I mean, it's pretty simple. When you don't do that, things tend to go badly. If scoring is something the Yankees have not been doing of late, they've been shut out in consecutive games for the first time since September of 16 through 13 games in this month of August. The Yankees have been shut out four times. We'll talk more about them as we go. In the meantime, we'll get the football to the NFL. Cowboys led all teams over the weekend with 17 penalties in their preseason opener against the Broncos. And if that sounds familiar, it's because that was their big problem a year ago. Yesterday, on First Take, on a boat, Michael Irvin talked about those issues and what the Cowboys might achieve if they can fix them.
If they clean up these penalties, they will be chasing. Let me clear it up for you. The 72 Dolphins. And am I talking about the right now Dolphins? Oh, now you know what I'm saying. I'm talking about the 72 Dolphins. Yes, you heard what I said. When you got the number one offense, clean up these penalties. You had the number one offense, number one score. You could be chasing the 72 Dolphins. Did Michael say something crazy?
Did Michael say something crazy is the name of a segment sweeping the nation on talk shows all over the country. Here's my explanation. You know, Dramamine, and I have personal experience, it makes you a little crazy, right? A little loopy. Yes,
something
I can
about
think
the
of
boat
no, right?
And seasickness, yes. The answer to his question is yes.
Did Michael say something crazy?
He said something crazy.
What do you think? 72 Dolphins, Chris Canty. How do we feel about it?
Yeah, I mean, the Dallas Cowboys aren't chasing the Dolphins in 72. They're chasing the Eagles in the NFC East because right now, I think the Eagles are going to win that division.
So we'll come to that in a second, but let's just quickly get to that part of the take before we dive into really the meat of this. Mike Tannenbaum, did Michael or did he not say something crazy?
Outlandish. They have a better chance of chasing the 2022 Dolphins than the 72 Dolphins.
What do you think of it, Sancho? What do you think of the take?
Hey, I'm going to just say that Jerry Jones needs new friends because the current ones he has are not giving him good advice. They're either lying to him or they're giving him false sense of reality. We saw the FaceTimes and the Zooms that Michael Irvin did with Jerry Jones. If that's who you're listening to, get some new friends.
Yeah, that's right. I can see him. Listen, we cut out the penalties, boss, and we're going on. A perfect season is well within our reach. That said, there is actually a story here. And that is that a year ago, the Cowboys looked like a poorly coached team with clock management and penalties. In the playoff loss, they were a poorly coached team with clock management and penalties. And now here we go with the first game of the preseason, and we got 17 penalties. Mike Tannenbaum, some will say, it's game one of the preseason. Should we be making a big deal of this, Mike T, yes or no?
Absolutely. And if I'm Jerry Jones, I simply would say, Coach McCarthy, at the end of the year, we gave you the answers to the test that if these self-inflicted wounds don't change, we're not firing you. You're firing yourself. And right now, what Coach McCarthy is simply doing is putting himself on the clock. I'm not talking about the end of the season. I'm talking about an in-season move. This is a team that should be competing with Philadelphia, as Chris Candy already said. But when you can't handle the clock and you lead the nation in penalties, it's unacceptable. They're not going to fire Mike McCarthy. He's going to fire himself.
I mean, that's a really look, I understand the way you mean that, and that's the bottom line. But we know what they need to clean up, and I get it. It's one preseason game. I'm trying to find the line. Dan, we do your overreaction. Are we overreacting?
Well, yeah, anything you take out of a preseason game, yes. You're by definition overreacting. We don't. I'm a big one for you can't use preseason games as predictive elements. However, perception matters a lot. Right? And so when you come out and you're on the field for the first time since last year when you led the league in penalties and you have 17 penalties in your preseason game, that only feeds into the perception that the problem is the coaching, that the problem is discipline, that the team is not well managed. And that is a perception that is going to continue to confront Mike McCarthy as we head into the season and throughout. So bad break for Mike McCarthy.
Well, Groz, I think this could be the reality of who the Dallas Cowboys are under Mike McCarthy, because when we start talking about teams that are highly penalized, that characteristic usually doesn't change unless there's a change at the top. You usually don't see teams get that stuff cleaned up unless they have a new head coach. And if you're Mike McCarthy, knowing that you were the most penalized team in all of football last year, no matter what your team does in the preseason debut, you would make sure that they're fundamentally sound, they play clean football, they don't have penalties. Mm-hmm. In that game against the Denver Broncos, they had more penalty yards going into the fourth quarter than they did have total yards of offense. It's absolutely unacceptable. And here's the other thing that worries me about the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
If we're keeping it a buck about this team, they are a less talented group than they were a year ago. And so when you start talking about the penalties, the self-inflicted wounds, the game management issues, it's going to be harder for them to overcome that in 2022. And so that's why I have some serious concerns about what this Dallas Cowboys team is actually going to be this upcoming season.
That's the other thing about what Michael said, is not just the comparison to 72. I mean, penalties were not their only problem last year, right? When they were playing outside the division, they were a very average team, even on offense, which was supposed to be their strength. So the defense was good, but it lived on turnovers. Can it be that good when it's not forcing turnovers? There are other questions besides penalties for this year's Cowboys to answer.
That's true, and 100% true, but I want to focus on the penalties for just another minute. Sacho, I'm trying to make up my own mind how big a deal we should be making about 17 penalties in a preseason game. You tell me.
It's a huge deal, Greeny. In football, coaches always say, at least the coaches I've had have said, you're either coaching it or you're letting it happen. And so it seems like Mike McCarthy and the Cowboys staff are letting these penalties happen. And Canty makes a great point. Penalties don't just magically disappear. You have to focus on them during practice. And so obviously for OTAs and the first part of training camp, the Cowboys haven't done anything to address their penalties issues for the last 2 years. But I think this can be a turning point to say, let's do what the great teams do. We saw some teams even in college to avoid holding penalties from DBs. Put on boxing gloves so you can't hold. There are other drills that you can do to prevent or slow down penalties. Add referees and have them come and blow the whistle more at practice. Teams do that. And so for me, the Cowboys are letting this happen and they're beating themselves. They need it to change immediately if they want to have any chance to win in the playoffs.
I don't know about you guys, but this conversation is casting some real doubt in my mind about this perfect season. I'm starting to get really concerned about this. No, I mean, because here's the thing. If last week, if we had said, how much stock should we put into the first preseason game for the Cowboys this year? We would have said, well, come on. It's not like they're going to have 17 penalties, right? It's literally exactly. I think Graziano made the good point. It's literally, Chris, exactly what they couldn't have happened. And it's exactly what did happen.
But it just makes you wonder, what is Mike McCarthy and the coaching staff emphasizing at these practices? They've been in training camp for a little over 3 weeks.
Yeah.
What are you talking about if it's not penalties? I get the X's and O's is important, but this is not a team that has that kind of margin for error, because when you look at the talent that they lost, the people that left the building, it's going to be a lot tougher for them to overcome some of those mistakes that are avoidable if they had more discipline. So that's what I worry about with the Dallas Cowboys.
Final word.
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, yes, preseason, maybe it's backups, maybe it's guys that aren't going to make the team, but But that's the point. Like, what are you practicing? Coming off of last year, this has to be the paramount thing, and it sure doesn't look like it was.
Nope. They go out on that three-hour tour yesterday here on the East River, and then the next thing you know, Michael Irvin's got him unbeaten. We got 17 penalties. All heck has broken loose while I was gone. All right, we'll take a short timeout. We got a lot to get to. Coming up next, he enters this season without one of his go-to guys. So why does our crew think Patrick Mahomes will survive and thrive this coming year? That's next. Plus, Bryce Young in Alabama back in a familiar place at the top of the standings. So which team is best positioned to roll the tide? Paul Feinbaum answers that question as we continue with our fantasy football marathon. Take a look at all the teams being drafted with ESPN Fantasy Football. Sign up now. Get ready for the fantasy season. Go to ESPN.com/FFL. or download the ESPN Fantasy app right now. We're back in a flash. You're watching Get Up on ESPN. Shopping for Mother's Day is usually a challenge because you wait until the last minute, but Macy's Gift Finder makes it incredibly fast and easy to find the right gift just in time for Mother's Day. Whether you're shopping for your sister's first Mother's Day or your fashionista mom who loves to make a statement, Macy's Gift Finder has so many great gift ideas that you can easily pick out something special to celebrate them both. You can shop by price, anywhere from $25 and under to $100 and under. You can also sort by category like fragrance, handbags, and more, or gift lists like for the mom who has everything, pre-wrapped gifts or gifts for grandma. Find top brands like Studio Pro Model Beats headphones, Polaroid cameras, and Samsung smart TVs. So what are you waiting for? Mother's Day is May 12th. It'll be here before you know it. Macy's has the perfect gift guide to make picking something for mom easy this year. Head to Macy's.com/giftfinder today. That's Macy's.com/giftfinder. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals. Get Up is brought to you by Pizza Hut.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
No one out pizzas the Hut. Order today at PizzaHut.com or download the app. All right, while I was gone, this happened, and it might have been the most glorious thing I've ever seen. Mike Tannenbaum, for reasons known only to him.
This is the best. I cannot.
Graziano, tell us what we're seeing here.
I didn't get to look at it all weekend, and now it's just like it's last week all over again. It's wonderful. This is just, I mean, Mike T will tell you. Go ahead, Mike.
Mike, what were you doing
here? You won the competition, right?
Let me set the record straight. My buddy against Rex and his buddy up at Cortland training camp after practice. Who could catch the most punts? We won the competition. I must set the record straight. We won the competition. Rex paid the producers to keep this footage. And a decade later, it still lives on.
Mike, you might have won the competition, but you took an L right there to that football. I mean, after watching this, I'm not sure if I can trust your football takes ever again. Why? That's how bad this is.
Why do you fall like that at the end of it? Like, that's the problem. I don't understand.
Need better cleats or something.
Like, the dropping of the ball is fine. I get it. But it's the whole
thing. It's going all the way over, too. Like, it's a backward somersault when he hits the ground. It's
okay. That is glorious.
I think America has seen that enough.
That is just as good as it gets.
Can't see.
All right, our next stop is Kansas City. Patrick Mahomes looked awfully sharp in the Chiefs preseason opener. He went 6 out of 7, threw a touchdown on the only drive in which he played. And then he was talking about moving forward without one of his longtime favorite targets, Tyreek Hill. And he had a very interesting conversation with Peter King of NBC Sports. And here's one of the quotes. When you have a guy as special as Tyreek, when you get any type of man coverage, you're kind of saying forget the read. Now the thing is, you don't know where that go-to guy is going to be every single game. It's going to be hard for defenses to game plan against. So the suggestion that he's making here is that the lack of predictability, I'm not sure exactly the word, the certainty with which they will do things will create uncertainty for the defense. So I ask you the question. Is it possible, Chris, if you're a defensive player and you're preparing to play Kansas City this year, that you're actually more nervous going into that game right now than you would have been a year ago with Tyreek Hill?
No, no shot. Tyreek Hill is the fastest player in the National Football League. He's going to dictate front and coverage. There's a reason why Kansas City saw more cover two than any other offense in the National Football League. It's because they had the cheetah out there. Now, with Kansas City looking at this, there could be a potential opportunity for Pat Mahomes to get more man coverage, and that's why it's so important what they're doing now in training camp, building the rapport with the new receivers and seeing what those guys can do well, and then also considering Andy Reid, the ultimate play designer, play caller. You're talking about him being able to mix and match different groups, and I think that could put Pat Mahomes in a situation where you're seeing him play within the structure of the offense and do more damage earlier in the downs, rather than relying on second reaction plays, trying to hit home runs to Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce downfield.
And that's the idea. I was at their camp. I had a conversation with Patrick Mahomes. In fact, I have a very similar quote from him in a piece I wrote last week for ESPN Plus. Right. We go with Peter's quote. I get it, whatever. But if somebody wants to read it.
Okay, so great.
Anyway, his point is it'll make him a better quarterback. His point is he said to me, like, when I would line up and I'd see the matchup that Tyreek had or the matchup Kelce had, that would kind of override, you know, what he was supposed to be doing progression-wise. Because, like, I know he's going to win that matchup. I'm going to that guy. He said now it'll train him to go through the progressions, to find the right matchup, to find the right read, and it'll improve him as a quarterback. Andy Reid told me something very similar, said it'll be good for his growth as a player. Remember, this is still a young player. As great as he's been, he can still get better. And that's scary big picture. But this year's Chiefs team, to your point, Chris, not going to be as scary to defenses because no Tyreek.
Well, that's the point I was going to make. He's 26 years old. Yeah. I mean, he's been so good for what feels like so long now that I think sometimes we forget, Mike Tannenbaum, that he is only 26 years old. And maybe, look, I think Chris Canty said it right. You don't get better or scarier by losing the fastest and scariest player in the entire NFL. But maybe he does get better. Maybe in the long run, Mike T, Mahomes actually does become a better quarterback.
That's right. And I think they become a lot more efficient. I think his yards per attempt goes down, but his completion percentage will actually go up. This team will be harder to defend from a standpoint of he's going to play point guard, and it may be Ronald Jones, it may be Smith-Schuster, Sky Moore, Valdes-Scantling. And when you're an opposing defensive coordinator and not know who you have to take out of the game, that's very difficult to be in. So this team may be a little bit more methodical in terms of 8-10 yard play drives. They won't be as explosive without Tyreek Hill, but they will still be very difficult to defend.
They're going to be a very interesting team to watch. I'm really looking forward to seeing what they specifically what they look like, because they will be different, whether they are scarier or not. We'll come back to that. But I want to get to college here. The first AP Top 25 poll of the season was released yesterday. And for the second straight year, and for what feels like the 100th time lately, Alabama is number one. It's actually the ninth time that they lead the preseason AP poll as they look to rebound after losing to Georgia in the championship game last year. And it is a list of usual suspects. Ohio State is in at number two. The defending champs, the Bulldogs, are in at three. Notre Dame is there at five, which sets up a monster showdown to kick off the season. One more reminder, Buckeyes kick off the season with Notre Dame this year, so that should be phenomenal. Paul Feinbaum gets up with us early this morning, and Sacho is here for the conversation as well. So the top two teams in the country, Paul, I mean, the more things change, the more they stay the same. It's Alabama and Ohio State. Are the Buckeyes the biggest threat to Nick Saban this year?
Unquestionably. And Greeny, it's only the 15th straight year at some point in the season that Alabama has been number one. The next closest is seven. That shows you the dominance. But Ohio State is built for this. They had a bad year last year. They did the unthinkable, the once in a generation. They lost to Michigan. But that's not going to happen this year because they've got one of the best quarterbacks in the country. They have wide receivers that will fill the NFL up. And they have Notre Dame at home in the first game of the season. They have Michigan later on. It's a tailor-made schedule for Ryan Day to make a serious run at the championship.
You think so, Sach? Are they the biggest threat to Alabama this year?
I agree, but it's for a different reason than Paul just said. Obviously, we know Ohio State has had the number one scoring offense and total offense in college football. But last year, their defense was ranked 59th. This year, they have the defensive coordinator from Oklahoma State who had the fifth best defense in all of college football, Jim Knowles. And so now you have a top-ranked offense, the best offense likely, with another top-ranked defense going to use that talent and make them actually play up to their standards. I think Ohio State is primed to give Alabama a run for their money.
Well, let's go, as my friend Jalen would say, a little deeper in the box score, or in this case, a little deeper into the rankings. Paul Feinbaum, which team is too high? As we just saw the top 10 and we saw the first rankings yesterday, which team is ranked too high for your taste?
It's Notre Dame. They should not even be in the top 10, Greeny. This is an absolute joke, and it happens every year with the AP poll, which is about as worthless as preseason NFL football. It's ridiculous. Notre Dame is going to get run in the first game of the season. I mean, they're going to get destroyed at the Big House. And then after that, they have to go to North Carolina a couple weeks later, a team that will bounce back this year. They have Clemson on this schedule, and they have SC. They'll be fortunate to go 9-3. Laughable that they're in the top five or six.
Sacho, you look, and you were, I can see you. You were sort of laughing along. You agree, disagree? What do you think of that? The Irish at five.
Well, no, I mean, I agree, but maybe not to that extent. I mean, Marcus Freeman's in his first year, and yes, there's questions at quarterback for Notre Dame. But in a lot of ways, like, we don't know what Notre Dame is going to be. Five may be high, I get it. But some of those games, North Carolina, you talked about, some of those games, they'll be able to win. And so week one, I get it. You may not win week one, but you do play USC at the end of the season. Maybe that's a game that you win. Now, to my point, the team that I think is overrated is USC. USC was ranked at 14th, and I get it. Lincoln Riley's in town. I get it. Caleb Williams and Jordan Addison, right, one of the Heisman Trophy candidate, and obviously the Blendikoff Award winner, are both transferred into USC. But last year, they were 4-8. Last year, their defense was atrocious. This year, maybe their defense will be better, but they also have so many new pieces that they need to find a new identity. They have over 40 new players on their team, if you include over 20 transfers and over 20 freshmen. And so all that doesn't get solved by one quarterback and one receiver. It gets solved by culture and time, and I think they don't have that this year.
Fair enough. Quickly, Paul, one more for you. I mentioned huge matchups right out of the gate, right? We got Notre Dame and Ohio State. We got Georgia and Oregon. So a lot is going to be settled right off the bat. How impactful will those opening games be?
Well, I think we can eliminate Notre Dame today. We don't have to wait till the first week for the CFP. Georgia's got an extremely difficult game, too. They're gone. I mean, Georgia is up against Oregon, which is a really good team, but they're also coached by Dan Lanning, who was the defensive coordinator for Georgia last year. So that's a game you have to keep your eye on.
All right, fair enough. Paul, great to see you, as always. Thanks for getting up with us early here today. I'll take a short time out. We got so much still to come. As the days pass, and there's no new deal on the table for Lamar Jackson, is there a scenario where we do not see him on the field for week one? That's the question. The answer is next.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Fantasy football is back, and the number one fantasy app is better than ever. The ESPN Fantasy app is here to help you all season long. Check out our newest features like more customizable scoring options, including unique scoring by position, and better features for keeper and dynasty leagues. Want to assign league keepers to a specific round of the draft? Now you can do it with ESPN Fantasy, and you'll absolutely love the updated and expanded league history that tells the tale of your league from the very beginning. It includes standings by season, winning percentage, longest win streaks, even your toughest and easiest opponents over time. Trash talking your league has never been easy. We're ready for the new season. Are you? Go to ESPN.com/FFL now or download the ESPN Fantasy app to get started.
All right, the Fantasy Marathon goes all day today, and we'll continue checking in on that. Meanwhile, someone you might want to consider, I don't know, Jalen Hurts. He was flawless in the Eagles' preseason opener against the Jets, 6-for-6, a touchdown, a perfect passer rating, very exciting. But yesterday, here on Get Up, our Tim Hasselbeck said, not so fast, my friend.
You do need to be careful in terms of the small sample size in the preseason because I think that night could have looked very different. It's 3rd and 5. Look at how clean the pocket is. For whatever reason, he escapes outside the pocket on 3rd and 5 and gets tackled out of bounds. Now, if it's not for a bonehead play by the Jets, that drive is over. And so now everybody in Philadelphia is running up and down Broad Street saying, hey, way to go, 6-for-6. You know, not so fast. That doesn't tell the whole picture of how the night went.
That's interesting. I mean, the phrase, if not for a bonehead play by the Jets, haunts me in my dreams. but it's an interesting point to make. Which side of that are you on? Are you on the, well, if not for that, then none of the rest of it happens, or the, he was 6-for-6 and scored a touchdown and all the rest of it. Where do we fall on this, Chris Canty?
Well, I'm probably going to lean toward the latter and not the former because think about it. That's a 3rd down scramble. Jalen Hurts forcing the issue is what draws the penalty from Quincy Williams. So he, in fact, is the catalyst for what that offense was doing in their first preseason game. And I got to say this, guys, if he shows that kind of consistency as a passer, not only from off the move but in the pocket, then you're probably talking about the Philadelphia Eagles not only being the team to beat in the NFC East, but a team that's a true title contender. When you look at all of the different things they did this offseason, fortifying that defensive front. You're talking about a defensive line that was top 10 against the run last year and top 5 in pass rush win weight, adding James Bradbury to go with Darius Slay. That defense can complement what that offense does. They already can run the football, but if Jalen Hurts can add that element of the passing game to the offense, look out.
Yeah, I think Tim's point is, you know, quarterback's not just about, you know, completion percentage, it's about decision. And he's saying, based on that pocket, that the right decision was to stay in a pocket and make a throw as opposed to get outside of it and run. Mm-hmm. Because he didn't have the 1st down unless the guy hits him out of bounds. So I think the story with Jalen Hurts is incomplete, right? He has shown a lot. We all know from college and from what we've seen in the pros that he has the the work ethic, the intelligence, the toughness inside of him, the drive to be great. And I think the things that he needs to iron out in his game, there's a chance that he's capable of doing it. But those things do exist, and the Eagles want to see it. They want to see the same kind of improvement that he showed them last year. And if he shows it, then I think that he has a good chance to be their long-term answer at the position. He has doubters. There's no questions about that. But he could be the kind of guy that can answer the questions about him and advance to that point.
He has doubters. He has a really good team around him. They make the huge acquisition. He's got a team that's got all these draft picks coming up. So all those questions continue to hover around him. Where do you lean towards the answer right now, Sacho, after one game?
I think Jalen Hurts is the answer after one game, you know, to the point of, man, that one throw in the pocket when nobody was open and escaping out of the pocket. Like, if I'm an Eagles fan, I'm more excited about the first play of the game when your left guard gets beat, you scramble outside of the pocket, you throw a 28-yard strike to Quez Watkins. That's what I'm excited about. I'm excited about the play on second and two from the 12-yard line. Yes, it got called back because of a penalty, but I'm excited about that right there. Like, my quarterback in the end zone, scoring touchdowns, leading my team, having fun, dancing. I'm excited about all of that. And so for me, I get it, right? Preseason, right? Maybe you made the wrong decision. I still didn't see anybody open on that play that you should have stayed in the pocket. But for me, it's not just the 6-for-6 or maybe 5-for-6 if you would have missed that one throw. It's everything else that he does. 10 rushing touchdowns last year, leading my team, getting better, and even getting better from the pocket. That's what I'm excited about if I'm an Eagles fan.
Mike T, if that's your team, if you're, you know, in charge of the roster construction of the Eagles right this minute, how are you feeling? How are you approaching the situation right now?
Greeny, I'm encouraged. When we ask players to work on their weaknesses and he goes out there, this is competition. It matters. It looks better. And we were looked at his stats. His completion percentage wasn't good enough a year ago. And oftentimes we'll say the tape sets the floor and the character sets the ceiling. Clearly, Jalen Hurts has outstanding character, great work ethic, and clearly this has gone better. Now, it's only one game, it's preseason, but we used to say everything matters. OTAs, preseason, training camp, preseason games, we're keeping score, so I'm encouraged if I'm the Eagles.
Yeah, Mark Schlereth used to say to me, these games don't count, but they matter. Mm-hmm. And so what we saw the other night, at least a little bit, may have mattered. So far, so good, I think, is the right way to approach it in Philadelphia for the quarterback. Hey, are you watching the Little League World Series? It's so much fun. The 75th anniversary of the Little League World Series tomorrow gets underway in Williamsport, Pennsylvania, with an opening round quadruple header on ESPN and the app. We got Curaçao and Nicaragua starting things off at 1 Eastern. Then the kids from Massachusetts take on Tennessee. Then we got Canada and Australia. Then we got Washington and Hawaii. All kinds of fun. And it all begins this week here on ESPN. All right, more football here. Dan Graziano's signature feature is Overreaction Tuesday. I will say something that I think people are saying, and you will tell me if that thing is or is not an overreaction. So if people are saying the Giants should trade Saquon Barkley, is that an overreaction?
I think it is for a couple reasons. One, you're not going to get anything in a trade for a running back. Nobody wants to pay for it, and this guy's coming off a couple of injured seasons, and, you know, he looks good right now, but I don't think they're going to get enough value to justify it. This year for the Giants, about finding out about Daniel Jones and what he can do in this offense, keep it as strong as possible around him. Saquon Barkley, he's in a contract year. Daniel Jones in a contract year. See what they can do together to help you make your decisions for the long term.
All right, so we saw them play their opener the other night. How about the Steelers? If people are saying Kenny Pickett will be their starter week one of the regular season, would that be an overreaction?
It would. It's classic preseason overreaction. He looked great. I mean, he looked, all the Steelers quarterbacks looked good in that game. They all threw touchdown passes. I think what you're seeing with Kenny Pickett is an encouraging performance in the preseason. He's been third on the depth chart all summer. It's clear that they like the idea of Mitch Trubisky starting the season. I think that's where this is likely headed ahead of week one, but encouragement for Kenny Pickett, he has time.
All right, and then there's one more. The Cleveland Browns are a team that has been in the center of so much conversation, mostly for terrible reasons. And so if someone were to say the Browns should be trading for Jimmy Garoppolo right now, would that be an overreaction?
I don't think it's an overreaction because they're going to need depth in that quarterback room. Even if they believe Jacoby Brissett can get them through a couple of games, it starts to look like they're going to need it to be more than a couple of games. The Deshaun Watson suspension likely to get longer, not shorter, because of this appeal by the league. So Garoppolo would add experience and somebody who could probably give you more games as a competent starter than what we've seen from Jacoby Brissett in his career.
Let me actually stop down on that one. Let's talk about it. Get Canty in here and get the other guys. And I want to, Mike Tannenbaum, I want to go to you immediately because, again, you're, as a former general manager, you are in charge of roster construction. If you're the Cleveland Browns, would you be on the phone right now with San Francisco trying to get Jimmy Garoppolo?
100%, and I'm not getting off the phone until we have a deal. And I really like Jacoby Brissett. I think he can play really good football for the Browns this year. But as Dan alluded to, Greeny, assuming Deshaun Watson misses a big part or all the season, Jimmy Garoppolo is an unbelievable addition. This is a really good football team. Jimmy Garoppolo is a winning frontline quarterback. We could debate if he's 8, 12, whatever. But he wins a lot of games when he starts, 70% in San Francisco. It's an opportunity you have to take advantage of if you're the Browns. You have a chance to win this year. Jacoby Brissett alone is not enough. You're one snap away from Josh Dobbs or Josh Rosen. This is an easy decision for the Browns.
Is there any other team that should be on the phone with San Francisco right now?
You're a New York football Jets greenie. Look, if Zach Wilson's not ready to go, Joe Flacco is a statue. We don't know how much Dwayne Brown has left. You have a chance to have a much improved team. They had a great offseason, Greeny. Jimmy Garoppolo may be the answer, not just this year for the Jets, but maybe for the next couple of years. And let's connect the dots. Mike LaFleur, their coordinator, came from San Francisco. Jimmy G will know the system. He is a material upgrade over Mike White. He's a material upgrade over Flacco. And some would even argue over Zach Wilson.
So, why you just throw that in there at the end?
I mean, I come back.
You want to run the punt video again?
I've got an injured back at myself. I'm not sure who's more hurt right now, Zach Wilson or me. Look, all kidding aside. Well, no, I'm not even kidding. Like, that was a disastrous performance the other night, right? Chris Canty, yeah. Again, you do the talk show and all that kind of stuff. Like, should the Jets, with the Zach Wilson, he's having the surgery today, right? Mm-hmm. So they'll know, because it could be worse. All this 2 to 4 weeks, there's no guarantee of that, right, Graziano?
Nope. They've said when the surgeons get in there and take a look, if the damage is worse than they think, then it could be longer, yes.
Yeah,
so but that's awful.
Yeah, even if he comes back, even if he's ready or cleared in 4 weeks, it doesn't mean that you put him in the starting lineup, because this year is all about being able to evaluate Zach Wilson. And the last thing you want to do if you're the Jets is have the injury be an excuse as to why you can't get a proper evaluation on him. Because, Greeny, let's face it, if Zach Wilson turns out not to be the guy, then you're talking about the Jets having another high draft pick in 2023 in a quarterback-rich draft class. And the Jets could be talking about another young quarterback that they're taking early.
Will you excuse me for a moment while my head explodes? Because the Jets have drafted in the last 5 years a quarterback at number 3 and at number 2. Mm. Are they now going to take one at number 1 as well in a 5-year stretch? It is already unprecedented. You're telling me that there is already reason to be thinking about whether or not the Jets will give up on Zach Wilson after this year.
Yeah, there's no question about it in my mind, Greeny, because you're talking about the opportunity cost of it all. Do you want to be in a position that the New York Giants are in with Daniel Jones, where they passed on Justin Herbert thinking that they had their franchise quarterback? No, you don't want to do that. So this is something that the Jets would have to consider. And let's also keep this in mind. If Zach Wilson has a terrible year because of injury or otherwise, then not only are you talking about a new quarterback, you're probably talking about a new general manager too.
Well, this couldn't be going worse. I mean, Sacho, can you give me any reason to feel any optimism, hope, or joy?
I got nothing for you, Greeny. I mean, like, so obviously the injury is one thing, and then saying, okay, maybe it's going to be Joe Flacco, but what we saw from Joe Flacco last year didn't give us too much to be overly excited about. And so, like, for me, I am not too excited if I'm a Jets fan, not only because of the injury to Zach Wilson, but because of the play of Zach Wilson.
So that's it, huh? So, I mean, we had this great draft, we had this great offseason. It's August 15th, and now we're moving on from that.
Is Mike White had a 400-yard game against the eventual AFC champion Bengals.
Listen, Lynn Saturday with the Knicks is looking for hope. Than the legend of Mike White.
He's
stop
looking
it.
For some hope. I'm trying to help.
There is no hope.
His back
He's
hurts.
A Jets fan. There is no hope. That goes without saying.
Boy, the size differential between Graziano.
I know, I got to get
Canty
a block
or something, isn't it? I mean, that is really anti-Semitic. That is just.
Right. When he's talking, it looks like I'm like, yeah.
I needed something to cheer me up, and that just did it. That was remarkable. You look like a ventriloquist dummy. Okay, on we go here.
I'm trying to help you.
I understand, but my day has already been ruined. As we continue, Lamar Jackson has given the Ravens a timetable for a new deal. It raises some possibilities that Baltimore fans won't like. We'll ruin their day next. Get up on ESPN.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
You're watching the ESPN Fantasy Football Marathon.
We will have Phil Yates with his insight into that in just a moment. Lamar Jackson, obviously, always a very high draft pick in fantasy football, but the contract situation he's dealing with right now puts that and everything else very much in question. After Saturday's practice, Jackson confirmed for the first time that he will cut off talks by week one of the regular season, which is less than 4 weeks away. And Graziano, you made the point in our meeting this morning that sometimes players say that and mean it, and sometimes that can be a negotiating ploy.
Yeah, common from both ends. I remember last year when I was in Bills camp, they were talking about, the GM was talking about the same thing. A week later, Josh Allen has a contract. So sometimes, but I think there are a couple things going on with Lamar Jackson. One, I think we should believe him. He doesn't want to carry this into the season as something that's hanging over his head. But I also don't know that it's necessarily a negotiating ploy. I think my understanding is sort of the lines are drawn here, right? Like, they know what he wants, and if he doesn't get it, he feels comfortable going into the season, playing it out, getting franchised next year, going that route that Dak Prescott did, that Kirk Cousins did. So I think we should take him at his word here, and we'll see if the Ravens move toward him enough to get a deal done before the season starts. I still think odds are that it happens, but again, I would have said that last year.
So Mike Tannenbaum, we don't know. There's very little information that has come out of this negotiation, in part because he doesn't have your traditional agent set up and all the rest of that. But what I think we can reasonably assume, and Graziano, I think, just touched on it, is whatever it is he wants, they're not willing to give him, because if the opposite were the case, he'd have a deal by
now. Not willing yet.
Right. Not willing yet. That's right. The point. So, Mike T, if you're sitting in the general manager's chair there, how are you? Are you willing to go someplace you otherwise wouldn't have wanted to go in order to get this thing done before the season begins?
I absolutely would, because he checks every box. He's your young franchise quarterback, league MVP. You have no alternatives. You have to stretch beyond your comfort zone and get this deal done. If you don't, it leads to tremendous instability short-term and long-term in terms of if he's franchised, when does he show up? You know, you wanted to know something that made you happy. Going back to last segment, Greedy, like, what happens if he pulls a Jalen Ramsey and has a hold in? We could be looking at opening day of Tyler Huntley against Joe Flacco, believe it or not, for a Raven Jet game. So if I'm the GM of the Ravens, I don't know what happens if we don't get a deal done. So I stretch beyond my comfort zone to make sure that we take care of our young franchise quarterback for years to come.
And look, there's the other element of this. He talked about the play, holdout or the hold in. Mm-hmm. And I think most of us just assume he won't do that. I think there is an assumption that he will play this season without the contract extension. But Chris Canty, as a longtime player in this league, are you comfortable with that? Again, we understand how much hangs in the balance in this deal.
Yeah, I'm comfortable with it because of the position, right? When you think about Lamar Jackson, he's an MVP quarterback that's 25 years old, and his team has been in the playoffs 3 of the 4 years he's been the starter. Like, there's a scarcity issue with quarterbacks in the National Football League. At any given time, half the league is looking for a franchise quarterback. So Lamar Jackson's going to be fine. I'm not worried about the injury concern. We saw what happened with Dak Prescott a couple of years ago and how that contract negotiation played out. But, Graz, this is rule number one when it comes to negotiation. The person that's willing to walk away is always going to win. And that seems to be Lamar Jackson in this situation. So as this gets dragged out throughout the course of this year, the leverage is going to continue to shift to Lamar Jackson. And then when you consider 2023 with Justin Herbert's deal and Joe Burrow's deal on the horizon, the asking price for Lamar Jackson is only going to continue to go up. So there's a reason why owner Steve Bisciotti was upset with the Cleveland Browns on the Deshaun Watson deal, because that's clearly having an impact on these negotiations with the guaranteed money.
There's no question. And look, I mean, this is going to be costly for the Baltimore Ravens, and they know that, right? I mean, like, this is, you're talking, and I do not know his specific contract demand.
Right.
But logically, you have to think it's a $50 million a year ask.
Yep.
And if he wants the guarantees that Deshaun Watson got, then you're talking about either fully guaranteed over 5 years, or you're talking about $300 million over 6 years with 75% guarantee. That's a big... So to whom is it more important that this get resolved before week one? That's what we're going to find out in the next few weeks.
That's right. And if not, then we find out if he really is willing to play this season out. And who knows? We could be living in a world where Lamar Jackson's playing on a franchise tag at some point. Fascinating. We'll see where it all goes. In the meantime, that is also a major fantasy question. And for that, we bring in Field Yates, who's with us, and we go through Field's fantasy guide. So, quarterbacks right now, Field Yates, who should be the number one QB?
Yeah, it's Josh Allen Green, and kind of a cold take here, but over the past two seasons, he has at least 35 passing touchdowns, at least 400 rushing yards. He was second in the NFL in terms of quarterback rushing yards last season. The guy is as good of a bet for 25 fantasy points in any given week. He is sort of a cyborg amongst quarterbacks, number one in back-to-back seasons. I think he'll make it three straight this upcoming year. And let's move to our top wide receiver on the board. Is going to surprise exactly nobody. It's Cooper Kupp, who last year led the NFL in catches and targets and receiving yards and receiving touchdowns and catches of at least 20 yards. Also, he had at least seven targets in all 17 weeks last season. Cooper Kupp is as consistent as it gets and elite as it gets as well. 25.9 fantasy points per game. I think he's in for a massive year this year once again. And then how about a running back to target? Hidden gem, Travis Etienne Jr. from the Jacksonville Jaguars, who played a ton with their key starters this past preseason game. He did not play at all last year because of a foot injury. James Robinson's coming off of a torn Achilles. Don't forget, last time we saw Travis Etienne in competitive game action, he had set the record for the most games with a touchdown scored in NCAA Division I football history. The guy is a superstar. He is a great pass catcher. Can't wait to see him this season.
That's right. And obviously his quarterback knows him really well. They have the chemistry going all the way back. I like all those takes. Let's go as we see Etienne coming back from the injury. How about another running back? Give me another running back you think is set to have a bounce back year this year.
Yeah, Greeny, I know that everybody's going to ask questions about, can Christian McCaffrey stay on the field after back-to-back seasons being limited to just 10 total games? But Christian McCaffrey is the best player in fantasy football if he is fully healthy. How about this? Last year, you know how many games he played? Not many. He was still 15th in the NFL amongst running back receiving yards. He's that much of a difference maker in the receiving game. He is one of the best pass catching running backs the league has ever seen. I get it. Durability is a concern after the past 2 years. But prior to those past 2 years, he never missed a game in his first three seasons in the NFL. Quarterback play should be better. I suspect that Christian McCaffrey will look a lot more like the player we saw in the past years prior to 2020 and 2021.
We're going to go see the Panthers training camp a little later in the show here this morning. Quickly, though, before we run with you, Field, what is one rule to note that everyone should be aware of before they have their fantasy draft?
It's really simple here, Greeny. Draft for value. You can't sit there and think about filling out your starting lineup first or being too concerned because I took two running backs early. Now I have to get a wide receiver or a tight end. Always follow the board and the value. If you end up taking three running backs to begin your draft or three wide receivers to begin your draft, that's okay. Because remember, the team that you draft is not the team you're going to finish the season with. The waiver wire is going to be the way that you win your league. So always draft for value. The rest will sort it out after the fact.
I like that. Where were you last year? My other rule is I never draft players on teams I root against, and that never works out well. That's a rule to forget. Field, outstanding. Thank you. Remember, the marathon's going on all day today, and ESPN Fantasy Football is the number one fantasy game with the season right around the corner. Get your league started now at ESPN.com/fantasyfootball. All right, coming up, expectations are always high in Dallas. But one Cowboys legend has raised the stakes. In case you've missed this, wait till you hear what Michael Irvin said yesterday. You don't want to miss it. Next.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and The Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.